So it's time now to take you to the rice fields of Bali as I follow a raw and vegan food journey from Dubai with Supernatural Kitchen based in Gourmet Lafayette, Dubai Mall, to Moxa. Following the pathways reminiscent of Julia Roberts in the film Eat, Pray, Love, I cycle through the rice paddies to the award-winning restaurant, which is situated south of Ubud, to find out about the restaurant, the ingredients, and an awareness described as the whole picture. A permaculture garden that brings food and culture from the farm, the village, the society to the table, and then back again to the community at large. Moxa is the baby of executive chef Made Ranatha and co-creator Made Jana Yasa. I meet first with Jana, who explains how Moxa came about.
This is actually a dream of Chef Made and I. 3 years ago, we started this project. There was nothing in this building. A lot of different buildings, there was nothing here. You know, Chef Made and I used to work together in one of the big healing center here. And then every time we have lunch together, we were like, oh, let's make our own restaurant, you know. Soon we realized, like, if we just talk about it, nothing will happen. But what make us happy? What make you happy, Chef Made? What make me happy? You know, and then we write this down, all the big words like community, sharing, learning, organic, sustainable, recycling, garden, all of this word that we put down without boundary, like just dream big, you know. We know that we're going to make a restaurant. And then, okay, if we're going to make a restaurant, how are we going to incorporate all of these big words that we have? And then there is thing that people already done, actually. From garden, go back to table, and then go back to garden. So yeah, garden, go to table, and then go back to garden. Yeah, we grow as much as possible. If there is any leftover cutting from the kitchen and all of that, and then we make compost over there. We also make a seedling. From there, you know, the seedling go to the garden. They grow. We harvest it, bring it back to the kitchen, and that's the circle. Yeah.
And the circle continues.
Yeah.
And I believe even like the straws are made of lemongrass. And
yes, yeah, the straw is made up of lemongrass, and then the lemongrass ran out, and then we use papaya stem, and then papaya stem ran out, and then we use bamboo, you know. So yeah, we go around like what is that we have abandoned, what we have a lot of, and then we use that as either tools or cook. When we're not using it, we can be used for compost. We use the name Moxa, which is we have a work to do, and then creating a food that tastes good and also good for you. As a server, you know, do your best, you know. What is in the ingredient in this? You know, people have a question. Clean, tidy. The other thing that I would love to also share here is there's four things that we look at Moxa. Learning, earning, sharing, and fun. If you stop learning, that's when you need to quit. That's when you need to stop working for us, you know. You know, the learning is exciting, you know, when you're curious about something, you know. So that's what we really instill in our team here, you know, learn.
Raw, vegan and cooked vegetarian food is served at Moxa with local coffees and teas and healthy elixirs serving fresh ingredients from the garden. I head there through an avenue of papaya trees, moringa and cacao with Jana Yasa, and he explains the philosophy behind Moxa and the interesting logo design that marks the brand.
Okay, so this is our logo right here, and there's four arms. Each arm has a meaning. So this one is one arm is Dharma, which is the right conduct. You know, the right conduct according to your belief, where you live, and then Dharma. And then Artha, which is worldly possession. You know, we live, we need hat, sunglasses, clothes, whatever you need. Based on Dharma, you know, based on the right conduct. You're not stealing it, you're not get it. Dharma, Artha, and then Kama is the desire. You know, we have desire to have a good relationship, desire to eat good food, based on Dharma. And then Moxa, the highest achievement.
Highest achievement, living the best life, full life you can.
This is what we're striving for.
We're striving for that, yeah. Beautiful. Very beautiful.
I mean, my background is actually in somatic. Somatic, it's the Greek word that means the body in its living wholeness. Like, really, our body is the story who we are. Yeah, when I work with people, I do more like what I call, I give them a feedback. I give them, guide them in a way where they want to go. because it's not my agenda, it's their agenda, and I guide them to achieve that. The one that I do is I study it from the ancestor, like the lineage, finding something magic, and then that's guide you to become a healer. In Bali, we believe in skala and niskala. So skala is what I can see, I can touch you, yeah? I can see this, I can see that, that's skala. And then there is another world, it's called niskala, which is nis, that you can, you know, niskala. So what we in Bali, we believe there is two worlds that happening at the same time. So what we're doing here at offering is we offering to that niskala, the unseen world. There is a word, it's called bur, buah, suah, which is three worlds that happening at the same time. We live in a buah, yeah, bur, which is the underworld, bur, underworld, and then buah is our world, and then suah is the god and goddess is a world. So when we do offering, so we want to have a peace in these three worlds. So that's what we do here. We do offering to create that peaceful existence of these three worlds that happening at the same time.
So this morning I got up about 5:30 when it was dark because I wanted to see the sunrise over the paddy fields, the rice paddy fields. So I walk out and I slowly see the light, as you do before you see the sun come up. The day, the night is shifting into day, surrounded by greenery and the paddy fields, and it's beautiful.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, this is what made me think. I thought, this is like in a fairy tale when you know the fairies have been in the night. And as the night is passing into day, they have gone away. And they'll be back again the next night. And that has that feeling of when it's still and it's nature, that there is life happening that you can't see.
Yeah, it is. You know, I think it's the same true or same parallel probably in Dubai, like if you go to the desert, you know, like at night, so cold and all of that, and you see the sunrise, it's something just like what you described, just a different medium. You know, instead of rice paddy, it's this endless, beautiful sand dune that you see everywhere.
Both are beautiful, but both have a slightly different energy.
More to come from Moxa, and you can see the pictures on the special features page at dubaieye1038.com/Dubai Today. I'm at the award-winning restaurant Moxa in Ubud, Bali, with executive chef Madi Ranatha and co-creator Madijana Yasa, who are sharing their story and insights from garden to plate to garden. I went there with Dubai chef Athena from the raw and vegan restaurant Supernatural Kitchen, who is looking for inspiration to add to her delicious creations. Before tasting the food, I wanted to learn more about the garden.
So we are entering what we call it the main crops, which is, this is like, you know, sweet potato here on your left, and then we have corn on your right, and here we have pumpkins and cucumber. We're gonna harvest this, and then we plant a new one. This is a Thai basil. Smell it first.
That's beautiful.
Yeah,
that's a sweet, beautiful sweet.
I mean, if you eat a Thai curry without this, do not call it Thai curry.
That's delicious.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, here we have kale, and then we have tomatoes, we have coriander. So we mix, you know, we have dales right there. And this one is called gamal, which is a legume, really high in nitrogen contents. So what happened is in the summertime, we use this as a shade. But also when you cut this is, and then you just put it on a ground like that. Yeah, same thing with all of these fences.
Yeah, which is all like greenery and tree bushes.
And it's fertilizer at the same time. You cut them and then drop it. So we cut it, the system is called it cut and drop.
So it's all going straight back into the soil.
Exactly.
What's your soil like here?
When we first started this project, this was a rice paddy, which was a not good soil. It was really acid, you know. And then now we are actually growing soil. We are cultivating soil. And now the soil is like really going into the pH 7, which is that's the good pH for growing. This is an ongoing process for us. Like this one, Susan, we're going to keep going, yeah? you see that coconut husk come,
yeah.
And then we're going to keep adding it up. So probably at to our knees.
Oh, really? Yeah. So you're building this sort of terrace almost like with the coconut husks. Keep building up because then you've got deeper soil.
Exactly. We got a deeper, good soil. And then also we don't have to bend down too much, you know.
That's good thinking.
Yeah. And, you know, if you see, you know, some people ask me, why is curvy and wavy not on a straight line, the bed, you know. There is a couple reasons. One is in nature is nothing straight. It's always some curve and this and that. If I will stand here, you know, I can reach there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I
you
don't
have it around you rather than just straight on, flat on.
Yes, and then I don't have to step onto the garden bed because that will compact your garden. We don't want that.
So everywhere's easily reachable.
Yeah, reachable. That's what when we designed this. So we will squat like this, and somebody squat over there, and then we touch hand.
Nice.
So, yeah. So that's if you can touch our hand, you know, each other hand. That's what the reach. So this is ready to go to harvest. And then that one is just new. This one is the second stage. That the gentleman right there is Robbie.
Hello.
Hi there.
He's the, you know, one of also overseeing the whole garden with me. This is liquid fertilizer. Yeah, we put it inside of the bags and then we soak them for a week and then we use it.
So the seasons for you, just coming out of the rainy season now.
Yeah.
So the climate, how's that affecting your sort of cycle?
Yeah, actually this is the best time of the year to really start growing because you still have the moisture and not too much water. Sometimes too much water also is not good, you know. On rainy season, we just like, you know, think especially the root, you know, get soggy and all of that. That was one of the reasons why we want to raise the garden. So when it rains, the rain can easily flow down to the side.
The drainage, yeah.
Yeah, the drainage.
Do you grow eggplants?
Yes, yeah, we have eggplants. And we also put flowers like here, now. So this is to attract good bugs. Here's the eggplants.
Ah.
Yeah, eggplants. Mm. Yeah, now that coming out to a hot season, so we put nets up. Mm. So it's kind of like help, especially the younger one when we planted, to help for the shade a little bit. When it's a grow a little bit, like 1 week or 10 days, and then we take this off and then we move it to the new bed. See, like as you see over there is the one that's going to be probably ready to harvest tomorrow. And then next door to there is, you know, in 3 days, this one is new. So that's what the one that we're trying to do is like continuous harvesting. Rosemary.
Oh, lovely, beautiful.
Mm.
Mm, I love rosemary. Mm. This over here, what are these? Just
yeah, this is all mint circle.
Mint,
yeah,
circle.
Now she's harvesting the mint, just the top of the mint, and then we use that for you know, garnish on a cake, to cook with. You know, sometimes people ask for a mint tea. Yeah, this is actually a water that coming from the water system, the subak. Every day, you know, sometimes there is a leak and, you know, we fill this up, you know, and then it will, you know, go through this channel, go over there, and then the leftover is come back to the water system. And then with this, we use to water the plant. You see, we love our legume.
Mm.
So, yeah, we cut this, drop it, cut them, drop them.
Finding inspiration from the fresh ingredients and the superfoods of barley at Moxa with Supernatural Kitchen Dubai. Find out about the dish creations from Executive Chef Made when I come back and the final clue to our mystery ingredient competition. I visited Ubud in Bali earlier this year with Chef Athena from Supernatural Kitchen, based in Gourmet Lafayette in Dubai Mall, and Riyad Hamid of Balqis Honey, to learn about the superfoods of barley. Sitting with Executive Chef Made Runatha of Moxa, who combines his years of experience in hotel restaurants and his research into natural foods, from macrobiotics to Ayurveda. As part of his passion to learn about raw food, Made went on to study at the Living Light Culinary Arts Institute, California, and became the world's first Indonesian certified plant-based cuisine chef. sitting with Chef Made on the veranda overlooking the garden and just beyond the rice fields. With the kitchen behind us, he helps me select from the menu.
Yan, the hummus is good, if
yeah,
you like.
Yeah.
The hummus.
Good.
Okay, tacos.
Yeah.
And then maybe not the hummus because you take the tacos already.
Okay.
Right. Would you like to have a living fried rice? Or you want to have the cooked one?
No, I have the living. Try the living, yeah.
Living fried rice, satu. Yeah, and then jackfruit tacos, satu. And then you will have a dessert, right? Okay, dessert anyway, you can have whatever you want.
Okay.
We have a lot of cake right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what, if do you have a cake, what would you use for binding with your cake?
It depends.
Okay.
Depends what kind of cake that you have. If you have like a orange chocolate mousse cake, the binder will be avocado and coconut cream.
Okay.
Yeah, and then you have cacao butter there.
Nice.
Okay.
Yeah.
If you would like to have the passion fruit mango cheesecake, so I hope that they still have. It will be the great, the famous one.
Okay.
Yeah, we grow here for the passion fruit.
Okay, that sounds good.
Yeah, and then the binding will be cashew, because fermented cashew. Yeah, fermented cashew inside. And also we use the mango. Mango is also the binder, right?
Yeah.
Mango is the binder. So that too we use it. And also I use the cacao butter as a solidity to make it solid. You know, we are in the tropical country, a little bit difficult to sub that.
Tell me what we have here.
Okay, you have a jackfruit tacos actually. Yeah, the taco shell is from the corn. It's raw. We dehydrate that one. But the filling is jackfruit, young jackfruit. Yeah, it will be a young jackfruit. It's a Mexican spice there. You have salsa there. You have guacamole there. Yeah. So it is really healthy. Don't forget, Susan, jackfruit is good for your digestion, improve your digestion. Yeah. It's good, but don't eat too much.
And is jackfruit generally a sweet fruit or a...
No.
It's
sweet is ripe already. The ripe one is sweet.
Yeah.
But the young, you can use for a lot of things.
Mm.
In Bali, sometimes we use for the vegan, for the vegetables. You can use for the soup, making soup. Yeah, with the coconut milk. You can do it, like my mom do. And then you can make it satay. With that vegan satay, Balinese satay, I mean, you can do like that one. Yeah, it's a lot of things you can do. In the night time, we have a jerky mignon.
Wow, really?
Jerky mignon, it's filet mignon. We use the jerky mignon. Yeah, so it's just the people love it.
This is delicious. It's very filling.
Yeah, it is very good.
And that beautiful crunch with the taco.
Yeah,
really, you get those textures, which is all important, of course, for our mind.
So in raw food, this balance is very important. So how you can make it balance, even though when you talk about the flavor, how you can make it balance the flavor, right? So that is very important. Every cooking, I think the balance is very important. Look at the flavor, that you have sweet, you have sour, you have a spicy, you have a bitter, what else? Bitter, spicy, sour, sweet. So how you can make it balanced?
The taco, how have you made the taco?
Taco shell. The shell is from the corn, fresh corn. Mm. You talk about the binder, what is inside?
Mm.
We use flax meal to make it solid, to make it bind together.
And then you have this, like, mayonnaise, is it?
Coconut sour cream.
That's lovely.
Yeah, it is. It is great. Yeah, so, you know, I was thinking a lot in that time. How can make it how to make the taco shell like this? So it's thinking almost 1 week because we have to do it manually. You know, we not use any machine. So to make it like this, it just take time for me to do it. But now we got it. Thinking for how we can do it, and then we can do it in the dehydrator. Yeah.
We were talking earlier about arrowroot as well. You use that?
That is good for the binder, but I don't have here. We don't have in Bali. We grow some, actually. We grow. It is good. Arrowroot also is good. Also, you can, if you want to make it like a vegan pancake, you can add that as a binder. Yeah, as a banner. But anyway, we use the banana. For our pancake, we use the banana flour. It is banana is a binder itself. Yeah. It's a lot of binder you can use, you know. When you talk about the raw food, you must understand that, like what we talk about, you know, how about the binder, how about the thickener, how about the emulsifier, or how about the agent. So that is very important. I always talk about that, you know. It's so much different with the cooking food. Look at the cooking food. What you use for the binding the soup? It's flour. It's butter. It's egg yolk. It's cream, right? So in vegan, you have to go that what you're going to use. To make a soup, what you use it for the binder? Maybe avocado, maybe nuts, cashew nut, you can use it. Yeah? And then maybe you can use like a zucchini. But zucchini, you have to help that a little bit cashew also to make them that solid.
From jackfruit tacos and living fried rice, there's a lot of creativity into putting the menu together, and Chef Maddie explains the benefits of following a raw food vegan lifestyle.
The raw food is just really great. Hippocrates said that food is medicine. It is this real medicine. Yeah, you can cure a lot of disease, a lot of sickness. So I also experienced that. You can cure the diabetes. You can cure with this kind of food. You can cure the people who get stroke. That woman came from, what you call this, Kuala Lumpur. She is a doctor. She stayed for 2 weeks in the retreat, but in 2 weeks, they can cure the diabetes. You can imagine that. I'm surprised with that because of that food, yeah, because of the raw food. And also here, I experienced that one of my friends has a stroke when he was 40 years old. But in 2 months, they recovery already. You can imagine that. They came here with a stick like this. So that means raw food full of nutrition. They contain a lot of lipase enzyme. So that we need. We have the enzyme, but we need help from outside to get that, yeah, more improve our digestion.
Is Bali a healthy place? Tell me about Bali.
I cannot say that Bali is a healthy place. But here in Ubud, yes. You know, when I start with the raw food 10 years ago, I understand, I do a little bit of research in Ubud, yeah, and then why do people want to have this in Ubud? In Ubud, the people come for the healthy food. And then Balinese people is not really thinking about healthy, you know, like me before 10 years ago. How I can make my stomach is full, that's all. It's not thinking about how I can make myself is healthy. Mostly in Bali now, it's getting more and more the people understand about the organic. So that when you talk about organic, the people thinking about the healthy. There's no pesticide. Now it is getting more and more the people understand. So that why we are here also, one thing also we want to share what is healthy. We want to educate the people, especially for the local people. It's not easy when you start with the raw food, when you start with the healthy food, because our tongue is already poisoned with the food that what you eat before, with a lot of pesticide. And you know, a lot of people ask that. Raw food is much more challenging. So the big question from to the raw food is where you get the protein. But when you go deeply to the raw food, you will understand that where you get. Yeah, look at spirulina. It's superfood. 100 grams of spirulina, it contains about 58. What I read, 58% is protein. Pumpkin seed, also the same. They contain about 33% of protein from the 100 gram. Now, how you can make it healthy food is delicious.
Dairy. Eggs, yeah. Cream, milk. These are all staples in our regular cooking,
yeah,
daily lives.
Yeah.
How do you transform those ingredients? Not only taste, but also the purpose they have.
Yes, I have a culinary class here, yeah? I always said that what you want to learn is learn from the basic. It's learn from the fundamental. From basic skill is very important. How we can transform, yeah, because you know that raw food without any dairy, no egg, no cream, of course no meat. So how you can transform from that dairy to make it vegan? So it's in Bali we have a lot. Look at the coconut. You can make it a lot of things. So that I transform here, how you can make it double cream from the young coconut meat. How you can make it cream. How you can make it coconut yogurt. How you can make it kefir. So that is that you can transform to make it a cake. When you want to learn about the raw food, you have to learn the fundamental. Yeah, what is binder? Natural binder. What is thickener? Natural thickener. What is natural aging? Jelly. Because you talk about the arismos. Arismos one of the natural jelly. And then understanding about natural emulsifier. How you can make it egg, yeah, butter. So how you can change, transform to the vegan? You can use cacao butter. You can use cold pressed coconut oil. You can use avocado. You can use nut. You can use psyllium.
And you have all of those things naturally here on Bali?
Yeah, we can get that. We can get avocado, of course, we can get. Young coconut, we can get that. But psyllium, of course, we don't have that one. We use not a lot also, but we can find in Bali. Iris moss, yes, we produce in Bali. I mean, this is from the seaweed. You can get from other island in Bali. So it's very cheap also. So now you assess how you process it, become a iris moss. Or, you know, like in tropical country, like in Bali, fresh fruit is a binder. You can make it straight away, the pudding from that, without any cream, without any butter, without any egg yolk. So you can do like that. Because raw food is creativity. Yeah, raw food is creativity. And don't forget, it's big challenge. It's big challenge to make it delicious and healthy. The raw food will give you more passion. The raw food will give you more empathy. Yeah, that's what I experienced because I'm not a patient man. We have to do that slowly with your hand. Susan, the most important thing when you do cooking, let I say, in vegan way, like a raw food, the last ingredient, it will be love. It's do with your heart, do with your willing, and put that love in your ingredient.
The Permaculture Organic Garden at Moxa brings plant-based cuisine from the garden to the table, and I head back to the garden with Jeanne Ayasa, guiding me through the fruit and vegetables growing in abundance like sweet potatoes, cacao, papaya and moringa, and he explains how they cultivate their produce.
This is going to be a passion fruit tunnel.
Over this channel of water,
yep.
Which is fabulous.
Yep.
I love all the butterflies, that's also a good sign.
Yeah, the butterflies.
And you have your little market here on a Saturday morning.
Yes, so this is the moringa.
Ah.
This is what, it's the superfood that now really...
What's so super about moringa?
You know, like really high in vitamin C, antioxidants, a lot of different minerals that pack in this small, you know, and you see like really small leaf, but yeah.
So what do you use it for?
Traditionally, we use it as a soup, you know, like put in a soup, make a cake out of it. You know, what we do is we dry them off, we dry it, and then we make a powder. And then when it's in a powder form, you can use it for, you know, put it in smoothies, you put it in a drink. Cake is really endless.
And just tell me a little bit about how this was part of Bali's landscape.
You know, my ancestor knows this is was good for fertilizer also, but also we use this to eat. Yeah, like long, long time ago, in my father generation, my grandparent generation, this is was considered of a poor man food, you know, because you cannot afford it, nothing, you know, and you would use this. Because of that reputation, and it's, you know, nobody want to eat it anymore. And then, of course, with all of this research that's happening, and hey, this is actually a lot of stuff packed into this small thing, and yeah.
So now it's got that title, superfood.
So this is a passion fruit also.
Mm.
Yeah, it's a passion fruit here.
Beautiful.
And then I didn't show you, but there's also passion fruit on that, on a fence. So yeah, we got like about 3 kilo, 5 kilo passion fruit every day, and then we use to make a cake.
Wonderful.
Yeah, the food movement, especially in Ubud, you know, because a lot of people doing yoga and retreat, self-development and all of that, and they come with their lifestyle, you know, all vegetarian, and then the raw food movement coming, and people, you know, getting into the raw food diet and stuff. And here at Moxa, we really not limit ourselves to just raw, you know. We have cooked food, we have raw, but all of them is a plant-based. Yeah, plant-based. No dairy products, no animal products in this place.
What do you think are the benefits of a plant-based diet?
Well, I can speak for myself. You know, I felt much better. You know, lighter, more energy. And then again, you know, we're not trying to convince people this is how you eat, you know, because I think, you know, I believe eating is the most fundamental freedom as a human that you can have. You can eat anything you wish. But if you feel like eating certain kind of food make you feel good, you know, make you function better, why not?
It's tropical in Bali. There's a lot of water. I experienced some spectacular storms when I was there. So Jana explains how they use the water efficiently in their permaculture garden.
In Bali, we have a lot of rain, so we want to catch that. Underneath of that building, there is 40,000 liters of water catchment from the rain. And then we use that water to flush the toilet. Yeah, from the toilet go through composting system and then come out as a grey water system here that you see. So this is actually like a hydroponic. So this papaya, this is arrowroot, it's all live off from the grey water system.
How are you
from
watering?
The toilet. There is a liner underneath here.
Yes.
And then the water has come out from the septic tank. This is called banana circle. We dig about half meter down. It's kind of like a bowl, yeah, like a circle. And then we just throw every organic matter here. So it's kind of like composting system in itself. So we let the nature do the job. But anything that organic. So here, actually, the same exact system what we do down there. If we squat down a little bit here, and I want to show you, this is anything underneath here. This was also a lot of organic matters. Yeah, yeah.
Oh yeah. So yeah. You've got
see,
leaves into the soil.
Yes. Yeah. This soil was like really, really mixed with a lot of these different. You know, like this one is the arrowroot leaf, which is really high in. A sugar content.
Mm.
Yeah.
So that's wonderful. You can see how.
Yeah, and then we put this rice straw on top of this as a mulching to slow down the evaporation. Yeah.
It's got a nice smell from it.
No, that's me.
What I love, as soon as you come in, I mean, the greenery here, I mean, it's so opposite to where we're from in Dubai. It's such in abundance, this vibrant, beautiful greens, but of course what it means is this life and growth and vegetation. It's all around you here.
Yeah. And then you know, I think like you said, you know, everything grows and all of that, and we need to sometime we need to manage them, you know, to manage it in a way. We still work with the nature, you know, direct it in a way, you know, still let them do their job. And we just accelerate their process sometime, or let's do the compost here, not over there, you know. you're still doing your job, but just over here, you know.
I see lots of coconuts.
You know, coconut is, as you know, like you will see when you go around Ubud or Bali, people drink a lot of coconut, young coconut especially, when you sweat and all of that, and that really replenish your body also.
There's a lot of that happening in Bali.
Yes.
Because it's so humid.
Yes. Okay, here's another holy grail of our operation here. So this is compost. And as you see, it's not that smell. No bad smell. Because when you make a compost, there's a fourth thing that you need to have. Nitrogen, carbon, oxygen, and water. So anything that brown, like me, is carbon. Anything that green like this, yeah, this is the green, which is a nitrogen. So we need to mix the green and brown in a composition, and then we add water, and then the oxygen is come from the air. Every 3 days or 2 days, we turn this, yeah, to get the oxygen, because the inside might not get the oxygen, so we turn it. So we know this is bad if there is smell. If there is no smell, that means our process is going to the right direction. This is we just made yesterday. Yeah, if you put your hand here.
Oh, it's warm.
Huh?
You feel the heat.
Yes, you know, this morning.
Damp.
Yep.
Moist.
Because that's what we want. That's the microorganism, you know, to breaking down this pile. You know, this pile later on probably going to be as small as that pile, probably smaller.
Shrinks down.
Yeah, shrink down, you know, and then break down. This one just new. So take about 21 days to create this, yeah. And that one is ready to go. And then behind you.
So it's a lot of time. It's time
consuming, but that's okay.
I think when you know how much time to grow your food, how much joy and planning, you're going to appreciate your food even more. Compost, the seedling, and then we're going to go down to the garden and you see like, wow, you know, and next time I eat, I'm not going to waste any leaf in my plate, you know.
So since you've been doing this, have you found that you've slowed down? Or I know you might have pressures of business, I don't know, but has it changed you at all?
I think what I love about this business, you know, and I, again, you know, like I said earlier, because there is a purpose that really ringing, you know, like really close to my heart, and also, you know, a purpose that Chef Made can like really, you know, it is his heart also. And that's make it easier. You know, that's make, you know, come here, it's like, oh yeah, I want to see my lettuce yesterday that I planted, you know. Oh, I want to check the compost, is hot or not, you know. It's always excitement to go to. People that come that really appreciate what we do here, that give us energy. Yeah, like yourself come here to want to make story about us, you know, this is also part of our mission to share what we have.
Thanks to Jana and Chef Made, Moxa is truly a special place, as is the setting, nestled alongside the rice fields of Ubud in Bali. Check out the pictures and the full story of my journey, exploring the superfoods of Bali with Supernatural Kitchen Dubai. It's on the special features page at dubaii1038.com/Dubai Today, or check out our Facebook page today.